pointed me in some direction, but I'm just asking that I not be seen, I not be heard, but rather that the Lord speaks, just uses me as a vocal voice box. Because what I'm here to say today is truly to help each and every one of us on a day-to-day basis. And by that, what I'm saying is I want us to be intentional on seeking, obtaining, and maintaining peace. Peace throughout the times that we're living in, peace in our homes, peace at our jobs, peace in our relationships, peace everywhere. And the thing about peace is, you know, it can be difficult because the Bible lets us know that the lust of the eyes of men and women are never satisfied. Never satisfied. How do you cope with seeking peace with a heart that is always wanting more? And so the message that the Lord has given me to share with you all today is putting forth a mental and intentional path to seeking, obtaining, and maintaining peace. Now, everyone knows the Jamaican song, "Don't Worry." Okay. The Lord gave me, "Don't covet, be happy." Don't covet, be happy. And that, like I said, I want this message to go from the youngest person to the most eldest person. I'm going to make every endeavor to be respectful of the time and the plumbing situation, but I do want to try to get out a lot of this stuff. But starting from the young people, do you realize as children that lust is instilled? I once heard a story that there was a little boy and a little girl, brother and sister of a home, and the father was out, and on his way home, there was a brand new bakery. So he went to the bakery, and he was very pleased because this bakery had a line all around the block. And so he stood in the line for his two children, a little boy, a little girl. He got cupcakes, the blue cupcake for his son, the pink cupcake for his daughter. He gets home. His daughter's already there, but his son hasn't arrived just yet. So when the daughter comes home, the father presents this pink box inside with a cupcake, and she was thrilled. She was excited. "Oh my God, oh my God, Daddy, I love you, I love you. Thank you for this cupcake." It had a pink box, it had some frosting, it had everything that she thought, and she was just ecstatic. Her brother came home. The father then gave the boy the blue box, and inside the blue box was a blue cupcake with frosting, and it just so happens that at this particular bakery, they put sprinkles on the blue cupcakes, but there are no sprinkles on the pink cupcakes. So when the little girl saw her brother's cupcake, despite her enthusiasm, despite her excitement, she saw her brother's cupcake and began to cry. She was no longer satisfied with the cupcake that she was jumping up and down for her father because the blue cupcake had sprinkles. As we get older, we sometimes have that same youthful envy, that same youthful covetousness among one another, even as we get older. And it doesn't make it easy when the world puts these things and dangle cupcakes with or without sprinkles in front of us. Every single year, Apple comes out with a brand new stinking cell phone. The iPhone 4, the 5, the 6, the XS, the XM, the XX, the XY, the 7, 8, 9. Every single year, they try to get you to buy a $1,000 phone. When nothing is wrong with the phone before, this is an 11, and I think they're up to now 15. But that's just the way that human nature is. We're just not satisfied. And so throughout this message, I want you to be intentional on seeking, obtaining, and maintaining peace in your heart, because God has given you everything that you need. So this is some of the rules, some of the laws, some of the lessons in the Bible. They're very simple, but sometimes we make them very complicated and we put them out of our mind. So I'm going to just go way back to the beginning. The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Everyone knows these Ten Commandments. No other God, no idols, don't use the Lord's name in vain, remember the Sabbath, honor your parents, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, bear false witness, and covet. And the thing about it is coveting is truly kind of like the catch-all. Why is it the catch-all? Because if you listen carefully to the Ten Commandments, they're broken down into two major categories. They are. The first four explains your relationship with God. Love your God, no idols, name in vain, and remember the Sabbath. Those first four commandments deal with your relationship with God. The last six deal with your relationship with one another. Have you guys ever caught that? Just break it down. Relationship with God, relationship with people. That's why it starts with your parents, and it goes to how you interact with other people. And then lastly is don't covet. All right? So follow me. We're going to go there. And it was interesting because last Sunday, if you were here, Pastor brought up once again the 613 ordinances in the Bible. And I don't know if you guys are joining in on reading or listening to the Bible in a year. I have truly been blessed by listening to it and by reading it. But I was off like 613 ordinances. Did I overlook them? Did I not read them? I don't remember. I remember 10, but 613 kind of went over my head. So I did some research to show myself approved and rightly divide this word, and they are there. They really are there. First scripture I want you guys to turn to in your Bibles with me is in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to start at verse 14, and I'm just going to, there's 613, so please, I know you don't expect me to read all of them, but I do just want to point out that they do exist if you take the time to read your Bible. And not only do they exist, those 613 have been broken down in the Bible as well. There's actually 248 do this and 365 don't do this. The Bible breaks it down. If you guys really, truly think about this, the Bible answers all of our questions for all of our daily living. And it's truly amazing. As a lawyer, all I do, I have a penal code, and there's thousands of laws and thousands of crimes, and that's just the penal code. But there's a welfare and institutions code. There is a civil procedure. There's a code of civil procedure. There's probate code. There's so many codes. I only deal with a penal code, and that's in two big books. This Bible truly breaks down how we should live. So just humor me for a moment. And I actually, the document that I found that kind of summarized the 613 commandments was a 25-page document. And it listed every ordinance and the attached or the associated scripture. But just bear with me. Leviticus chapter 19, we're going to read 14 through 18. And they're mixed. Some are the do this and don't do this, but I want you to read it for yourself, not just accept what I'm saying up here. So verse 14, you shall not curse the deaf. That's a individual ordinance. When there's a or, that's a different ordinance. So you just read one of 613 right now. Number two, and not in order, but number two, you shall not curse or put a stumbling block before the blind. That's an ordinance. That's a second of 613. And that's how specific these ordinances were at this time. I haven't even got through the verse, and you've already heard two. You continue to go, you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. A third ordinance. And I'm not going to break it down. You guys kind of follow me. But let's continue reading 15, 16, 17, and 18. I'll do a little faster. 15, you shall do no injustice in judging a case. You shall not be partial to the poor. You shall not show a preference for the mighty, but in righteousness and according to the merits of the case, judge your neighbor. 16, you shall not go up and down as a dispenser of gossip and scandal among your people, nor shall you secure yourself by false testimony or by silence. You shall not endanger the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. 18, you shall not take revenge. You shall not bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I didn't even count. That was like 10 or 12 that we just read. Those are some of the ordinances. So when the pastor said 613, that wasn't just a number. That's Bible. And you've read it. You're cute to read more. But I want you to read number 19, because 19, the very last clause, caught my eye. And I'm going to just jump to it. Neither wear a garment of linen mixed with wool. There was a rule of what you could and could not wear, or you could and could not match together back in those times. Could you realize why the pastor said it wasn't expected for you to be able to uphold and abide by every ordinance at that time? Again, with the Ten Commandments, not just to mention the 613. But the reason why I bring this to your attention is because I was very curious about that. And as the pastor speaks about repeating things in the Bible, should be brought to your attention. So I just read in Leviticus 19, verse 19, the last clause, neither wear a garment of linen mixed with wool. And you're like, man, what is it about wool and linen? Jump to Deuteronomy 22 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 22 and 11, and to all my brothers and all my sisters who enjoy fashion, this is what the Bible says. What does Deuteronomy 22 and 11 say? Let's all read that out loud. You shall not wear a garment of mingled stuff, wool and linen together. He wasn't playing. He wasn't playing about wearing wool and linen. I only use that to show some of the humor, some of the lightness of the Bible, because there are a lot more stronger ordinances, but it was important to know where those 613 came from. And the 613, actually, this is like a little excerpt for my study, reminded me or let me lead into the other lessons about the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees. We've heard it, but how often do we dig into our Bible after Sunday and say, what was he talking about, and what in the world are these people? I'm that curious man to do so. So I went to figure out who were the Pharisees, who were the Sadducees, who were the scribes, and my mind was illuminated to what and who they are. And so just to give you a little insight as to each of those three groups of people, the Pharisees, they were, quote, the separated ones. They were a religious and a political party. They were a political party in Palestine. They were just really, really ordinary people, but in their ordinary ways, they tried to uphold all of those 613 plus 10 to the strictest terms. They tried. God bless them. I acknowledge and commend their effort, but they really try to do the strict observance of each of those 613 laws. Now, the problem with that is, as we've all played back in the day, telephone, some of the messages start to get construed. The messages get watered down, the messages get diluted, the messages change, and it goes from a law to a custom, from a custom to a suggestion, and from a suggestion to now you better do this. And by the time it gets here, it didn't come from God, but rather it came from man. And that's what sometimes the church struggles with today. What to wear, shoulders, lipstick, showing certain things. Some of those things are customs that have been passed down in a pharisaical or Pharisee type manner, which is why they were considered hypocrites. They were just ordinary people. They had a desire to abide by the laws. They had a desire to say that they were righteous and holy, and they were admiring all the rules to the strictest ability, but that was just their outside appearance. And because it was the outside appearance, and what does God look at? Your heart. They were considered hypocrites. So my put the kickstand down message for that little part, don't be a modern day Pharisee. I'm trying to intentionally encourage you to find peace, intentionally encourage you to do what's right, but not just on the outward appearance to your fellows and to your neighbors, but internally, which God can see. And you all know the famous Pharisee, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus asked God, and you all know the account, and because of my time, I'm moving on to the scribes. The scribes were a different sect of people, and they often were the priest. They were the educated ones. And script comes from writing. Writing comes from them actually used to scribe and transcribe the materials. So what happens to them? They get the big head. And so not only do they write, not only were they priests, but now they want to try to interpret the law, interpret their writing, and that's where it becomes a bit skewed. The scribes often only relied on the Mosaic law which comes from Moses, but their position was not only are they going to interpret the law, but now they're going to enforce the laws that they interpret, which is why most of the scribes were of the upper class, because they had the wherewithal to write and then to in turn interpret to the people. Jesus warned against the scribes. So you have the Pharisees, hypocrites, the scribes, they're twisting it, turning it, misrepresenting it. You have to be careful of that. Then you have the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, one thing about the Sadducees I learned is that they were the only ones that did not, in fact, believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe after death. And one of the reasons why the Pharisees and the scribes were trying to abide by the laws is because they were essentially trying to get to heaven. And to get to heaven, they had to live a certain way. And to live a certain way, they had to abide by the laws. So they were abiding by the laws with the mentality, I know what's happening, life after death. The Sadducees didn't believe in life after death, so they weren't trying to abide by the rules and the laws and that kind of stuff. They were the ones who urged Jesus to be crucified. So just to kind of like wrap up where we are, these are some of the laws and the ways they were doing it. And again, we're often trying to do what's right, but the thing is to do it right internally. And the mental thing is what is really going to ultimately get you to the next level. So with that, that's Old Testament. We get to the New Testament. Pharisees are still around. Scribes are still around. Sadducees are still around. And so the particular Pharisee here questioned God. And I hate to say it, but he was a lawyer. But this lawyer Pharisee wanted to challenge God. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to verse 36. 6. And again, as we're going through this, my intention at the onset is for us to intentionally seek peace. So I'm going to get there. Don't covet, be happy. But I wanted to kind of explain introductorily how we get to these laws and how we get there. So if you could bear with me. Matthew 22, verse 34. Now, when the Pharisees heard that he'd silenced and muzzled the Sadducees, they gathered together, read above to find out what happened, if you care. Verse 35, and one of their number, a lawyer, asked him a question. Teacher, what kind of commandment is great and important? The principal kind in the law, being that some commandments are light, which are heavy. And I love Jesus. I love when he gets confronted, because if you allow me to say it, Jesus claps back. Jesus will shut you down in the most simplest terms, and he just speaks it with not arrogance and not humility, but don't come for me. I think that was a message that our sister brought. Don't come for me, because he will then come for you. So when this Pharisee, again, the people that were trying to do the strict observance of the 613 laws, think they're doing it right, think they're doing it better than God, because they would see Jesus do things outside of the ordinance, they try to check him. Jesus responded in verse 37, and he replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. 39, and the second is, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. That was his response. 10 commandments in Exodus, 613 ordinances throughout the Old Testament, Jesus broke it down in two. And the way he broke it down in two was what the categories were for the 10 commandments. The first four were for what? Relationship with God. First and greatest commandment, love him with all your mind, heart, and soul. Second set of commandments, relationship with people, love your neighbor as you do yourself. That's it. Two commandments. We're now the New Testament, so don't give me the Old Testament, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, don't count. We're now the New Testament, so there you go. The thing about relationship with your neighbor, it first requires you to love yourself. Some have a challenge. We're praying for me and you and everyone else. But after you love yourself, once you get to love yourself, we just don't stop. We love ourselves. And when we love ourselves, the Bible is telling us that we should love our neighbor as we do ourselves. Challenge. Blue cupcake. Pink cupcake, never satisfied, lust of the eyes, lust of the heart. How can I love somebody when they rolled up in that? How can I love them when they were able to go there? How can I love them when they won that $2 billion lottery and, excuse my language again, tricking off money, buying multi-million dollar houses? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is about finding, again, peace. Don't covet. Be happy. What we're trying to do and what the Bible is trying to teach us is that sometimes we have to intentionally not just be happy with ourselves, but love our neighbors as we do ourselves, so that we're not jealous and envious and spiteful and hatred and loathe and combating and gossip and all this kind of stuff to somebody else, because all of those things disrupts peace. So we are going to be intentional on peace. The other thing about the commandments, and I'm going to try to do this really fast, dealing with the last six, again, dealing with relationship with others, the first one is honoring your parents. That's an act. That's conduct. That's verbal interaction. When you say don't murder, that's a physical act. Don't commit adultery, once again, physical. Don't steal, physical. Should be verbal as well. Don't bear false witness, once again, verbal. Why did I go through all those first five of the last group? Do you realize what the 10th and final commandment is? Thou shalt not covet. That's the only commandment that's mental. I don't have to say, but I can covet. I don't have to speak, but I can covet. I don't have to come, and I can still covet. This internet, which gives us access to the entire universe, I can't do it. I'm not on social media. I have LinkedIn. I can't keep up with offline people. God forbid me trying to keep on with online people, because they're constantly reminding you of what you may or may not have. What's the phrase? The fear of being left out. How do you have peace if you have the fear of being missing out on some nonsense that could probably get you injured and ain't getting you no closer to success in life? But that's what the mind, that's what this world, that's what technology is putting on our society. And so I want to combat that by have us intentionally seeking peace, intentionally loving our neighbor as we do ourselves. And like I said, we love some us. All right? So I always have technical people in the audience. I see brothers and sisters looking at me like, well, Mr. Timothy, I don't covet. I know that coveting means to wish earnestly for, to desire, to intensely desire. And Mr. Minister, I don't do that. I see it. I may respect it, but I don't want it like that. I don't covet. Bible spoke to you too. Let's go to Exodus. Let's just go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. And this is the OG Ten Commandment that I'm referring to. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his donkey, catch-all, or anything that is your neighbor's. And so you're saying, Mr. Minister, okay, nice house, okay. I want you to, and the reason why I say this is the OG commandment, and the Bible is talking to you, because I'm going to go a couple books over. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. And before I read the scripture to you, I'm going to encourage you to find out why I said there's an OG commandment and why we're reading now in Deuteronomy. Because in Exodus was Moses. We know about that. He went up, got it. Something happened when he came down. But now there's some commandments, the exact same ones, in Deuteronomy. There's something different about the Deuteronomy commandment, though. And I'm going to see if you guys can catch this like I caught it and did the research, because this was fascinating to me. One word, and I'll give you a hint. It starts with the letter D. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21 says, neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife. Uh-oh, he changed the order. That was the house first. That's OG commandment. Nor desire your neighbor's house. Oh, there's the house. Remember in Exodus, it was, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Deuteronomy says in the second clause, you shall not, what's the key word? Desire. Uh-oh. I may be in that category if that is coveting. Coveting is not only the intense wanting, Deuteronomy inserts the word desire. Have we ever desired property of neighbor all of the time? When you desire property and covet, you disrupt the peace that you have. This is the finger to chin type situation. I'm not trying to jump and shout and run into the altar just yet, but what I do want you to know is how can we intentionally obtain and seek peace? And the Bible makes it very clear, some of the challenge is our desire of something we don't possess, and that makes us not have peaceful sleep. That makes us not have long-lasting relationships with our friends from high school and college. That makes the tension in the church uncomfortable. That prevents people from coming and sharing. That sometimes prevents testimony. If I give a testimony, now you're going to hate me. So now I'm going to keep my testimony to myself to prevent you from coveting or desiring what I possess that the Lord blessed me with because I was right. So then I cower. So that hopefully you could keep loving yourself and eventually then love me as you do yourself, your neighbor. Coveting and desire often creates dissatisfaction, discontentment. And that again eliminates peace. So how do we do that? We intentionally get the peace. We intentionally do a lot of things. If we want to go somewhere, we go. If we want to obtain something, we do. And the body is so miraculous. I don't want to delve into the what I had prepared for it, but the adrenal gland in your mind produces adrenaline. And there's other hormones that can get your heart going, that can get your strength going. Our body can't, our mind is so powerful. We just hope and ask that the Lord direct our paths and have our mind go where you want us to go, Lord, because you are the ultimate peacemaker. And sometimes we jeopardize our own peace in our heart, in our mind, wanting, desiring, doing other things. So this is a rewind. The pastor's other message, you guys got to go hear it. And I'm not going to, it's Hebrews 13 and 5. That was pastor's message. I think it was in July or August when he highlighted what Jesus said. I will not, I will not. He just kept repeating himself. The Lord wrote standards on what he will not do. And what he will not do is leave you helpless. And because he will not leave you helpless, you have all that you need. This iPhone 11 will make me get in contact with my wife just like your iPhone 15. This iPhone 11, thank you, Minister Tracy, can take some photos. Yes, the same way an iPhone 15 can, and you can post the things just the same. The fact that we lust for the new and lust for the next when we have sufficient, acceptable, functional, and I'm just talking about devices. I don't even want to touch the household and relationships, but I just often want to tell you guys, you can get peace. You have to intentionally get it, and you get it by accepting what the Lord has given you because he's given you all that you need, and he also tells you if you want something, ask. How easy. It's real simple. Like it marvels me how simple some of these concepts are, but I know it's in 66 books of the Bible and we don't want to go through all of them, but these concepts are very, very simple. And because we're dealing with don't covet, be happy, I'm encouraging each one of us to just do that. There's phrases out there. Your grass is greener on the other side. And what's the response to that? Well, water your grass. That's how simple it is. If you want to envy someone else's, put up a fence. If whatever it is, don't stop your own peace and satisfaction in life. Whatever it is that you desire, seek it, obtain it, and don't be a hater. I mean, these are simple concepts, but don't be a hater. More money, more problems. These cliches come about, and they do have some truth, but you know why? Maybe you don't have more money. You ain't paid more tithes. There's an investment that you can do to be a steward over your finances. Do you realize because coveting is mental, when we covet for something, not much is free, so it may cost a dollar. When we covet after something and we have to obtain it, it's a financial commitment. Can we afford it? We don't even care. We don't even care. We just want to have it. We want to show it. We want to floss it, front it. And it doesn't do anything. And God forbid, I don't want to get into investments, whatever, but some of the things we have don't even have the lifespan of worth the dollar value that it cost. There was the Alcoholic Anonymous Serenity Prayer. I know you guys have all heard it before. They have it on walls. It hasn't been just relinquished to the Alcoholic Anonymous. But God grant me the serenity for the things I can accept. How's it go? The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I found a twist to that. I thought it was kind of clever. God grant me the serenity to accept the people I can't change, the courage to change the ones I can. But the kicker is the wisdom to realize it's me. Going to peace, peace is what we should desire, because peace would make life so much easier. It makes it pleasant. Even in uncomfortable situations, we have plumbing issues today, but the piece I'm hoping of this message is forgetting needing to use the facilities that are available. The fruit, and Pastor Jackson, Bishop Usry, they make it very clear to understand it's a singular word, fruit. So the fruit of the Spirit, there's several of them, but focusing on joy, gladness, and peace. That's a fruit. Joy, happiness, and peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit that we should hope to obtain, hope to sow, and hope to flourish in other people's lives, not just our own. But let's go to Galatians chapter 5. At the very last verse, 26, after we get through the fruit of the Spirit, verse 26, it says, let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. We just read all the fruit of the Spirit. We hope to live by the gift and the admission of the Holy Spirit to those fruits, but the Bible still had to remind us of what we should not do. And doggone it, that coveting popped back up, even when we're talking about the fruit. Can we intentionally not be jealous, but love our neighbor as ourselves? If they get a promotion, congratulate them for that promotion. If they're able to obtain something, congratulate them for what they've obtained. If I achieve something and I tell you in a testimony, don't hate, congratulate. I don't mean to be cliches, but that's what can actually give us peace. It'll actually bring us together. It'll actually unite us. And when we lift each other up, it's better for everybody. It's better for the whole congregation. As I'm wrapping it up, I do want to say that peace is often not only challenged by the cupcakes that are dangling in front of us, but it's sometimes a reflection of the trust that we have or the lack of trust we have in God to give us what it is that we need. And that's another very tough pill to swallow, because God doesn't work on our microwave clock. Because I put my food in, I went in 45 seconds. Lord, I need you to do it in 12 because I know you can. So when we come to God, seeking him for his assistance, asking him for his patience, having him get involved in the situation that we're asking for, trust that he knows what he's doing. Intentionally accept the peace that you have, that it will be solved. We just sang the song. We just sang the song. Because it is possible. It is possible. So within yourself, intentionally accept the peace that you have, everything that the Lord wants you to have at this time, in this moment, in this circumstance. Because there is a scripture that says he can give you blessings and have your cup runneth over. And oftentimes we want that, but we sometimes can't let. Lord knows I can't handle 2 billion. I can't handle Beyonce paparazzi attention. Lord have mercy. I can't live like that. So Lord's not going to put me on no grand stage. Blue Ivy is 13 years old, and she's getting all that attention. The Obamas, she can't smoke a cigarette on the street anymore because everyone's looking at her. I don't want that lifestyle. So Lord, I'm not asking for fame and fortune to that degree. Let me be a steward over what you've given me. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my home. I thank you for my vehicle. I thank you for my job. I thank you for the thing that you have given me. Yes, I'm not saying that you can't desire more, but it should not be a desire so much so, especially if it's of your neighbor's property, that you bear false witness, you lie, you steal, you cheat, you try to cut corners. My prayer, Father, is that you allow me to be pleased with what you have given me. And everybody has issues. There was one service I went to where there was a prayer service where you write on a little piece of paper your prayer, walk around, and you dropped it in the offering bucket. You walked back to your seat. There was a prayer for the entire congregation. And then the minister said, come back up and grab your ticket. And of course, you're not going to grab your ticket. You're going to grab somebody else's ticket. And that was an eye-opening experience for what they read that someone else was dealing with in their same congregation. Because you never know. So be content. Have peace. Know that the Lord got you. Pray for what you want and allow his timeline to give you what it is that you want. I pray that this sobering message gives you something to think about. I pray that it's something that you could implement, not just today, not just in your home, but throughout the week, the year, and the months. I want you to understand that coveting is still a challenge, but we can intentionally get away from that by recognizing that, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are the lover of my life. And the two greatest commandments love me and my neighbor as I do myself, it's going to be all good. Lord, thank you for this time. I ask you that you have this message resonate in the hearts and in the minds of those that heard this message. I pray that we understand that you are all that we need. Truly and sincerely, you are all that we need. Allow us not to be lulled and persuaded and manipulated by television and advertisements and the lifestyles of other people. But Lord, let me revel in what you've blessed me with, because you have blessed me beyond measure, because I woke up this morning, Lord Jesus, and I got a chance to say thank you once again. I got a chance to have a family, a spouse, a friend, some loved one, a companion. I have someone in my life that cares about me. I have the things that you want for me to have, Lord Jesus, and I'm asking that you remove any and every thread of jealousy, any and every thread of envy. Lord, let my mind not covet that which I don't have, Lord Jesus. Let me be more congratulatory and thankful and happy for my neighbor, happy for my community, than to be disgruntled, bothered. I want to be able to love you, Lord Jesus. I want a peace of mind. I want a peaceful night's rest. I want a peaceful week, Lord Jesus, even dealing with some of the challenges, because I know they will come. But even in the challenges, I know I'm going to learn some lesson through that challenge, Lord Jesus. So it's not that I need to acquire something, but rather accept and enjoy, cherish, and take care of the things that you have already blessed me with, because you will and you can increase that if it so be your will. And if it is not your will, Lord Jesus, let me understand or at least accept that that's not your will, and explain to me or show me something else that I could learn from that lesson. But let me not be that disgruntled person provoking and irritating somebody else because they have something I desire, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your people. I thank you for using me as a vessel, Lord Jesus. And I pray that this message, it goes forth and it helps someone, helps each of us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.